Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, April the 16th. Beautiful day here in Texas. I think tax day is tomorrow. I was trying to figure out whether tax day was today or tomorrow, but I think it is going to be tomorrow. I don't have to worry about it because I got my taxes in, but I was just curious. I had to go to the post office later today, and I was thinking, oh, my gosh, is it going to be today or is it going to be tomorrow? Because, as you know, if you know anything about the post office on tax day, it is the lines are just unbelievably long. Everybody's trying to get their refund in with the right date and all of that, and it gets awfully long. But I think it's going to be Tuesday, so you still have another day to get that return in the mail or online. Online is the way to go, obviously, but you know everybody's got to do it their own way. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Mr. Comey. On the television last night, the interview that he had on ABC, we're going to talk about some new information about the midterm elections, some new polling data about the midterm elections. Interesting. I don't think the Democrats were expecting the information that is coming out. And I have a post at the American Thinker this morning about these presidential rankings, you know, how they rate the presidents. They get a bunch of historians together and they rate the presidents, and I have a post about that at the American Thinker this morning that I want to tell you about. But let's begin with Barbara Bush, the former first lady, who, as you may have heard on Sunday, she is in very bad health. Her health is declining, and it looks like normally when you hear a situation like this, I can tell you from personal experience, from family and from friends, when you hear that they're not going to have any more medical treatment, that they're just going to go home and basically be at home. When you hear that, that's usually a sign that it's sort of the beginning of the end. At least that's been my experience. So obviously this is not very good news from Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush is really a historic first lady. When you look at American history, she was not only the wife of a president, well, first of all, the wife of a vice president, the wife of a president, and then, of course, the mother of a two-term president. And it's fascinating because in so many ways, her career is almost the same as Abigail Adams, the great first lady of the early days of the Republic. She was the wife of John Adams, who was also vice president twice under George Washington, then had his own term as president. Then he was defeated when he was running for re-election, just like George Bush was defeated in 1992, and then saw her son, John Quincy Adams, run and win for president later. So, and, you know, very similar to Abigail Adams, this is Barbara Bush is a lady that we've come to know. Her face is very familiar to all of us, again, because of so many elections. I mean, when you think of she was the spouse or the wife of George Bush in 1980, 1988, 84, 88, and then 92, and then the mother of George W. Bush in 2000. And 2004. So we've all grown to love her face and to see her face in so many commercials and so many pictures, so many photographs with her husband and, of course, her son, George W. So this is a neat lady, somebody that we've all come to love. And then more recently, I've had my own personal contact with Mrs. Bush, and that's because two of our sons went to Texas A&M. And, of course, the Texas A&M is where they have the Bush Library. And she and the president would often be walking around the campus and very often would greet some of the students. So really neat lady, very neat lady. The news is not good, to be honest with you. The news is not good from Houston. And hopefully, you know, she and her family can be together and spend some of this time together. But Barbara Bush, just an absolutely, absolutely great lady. I have a post over at the American Thinker today where I talk about presidential rankings. You know how they rank the presidents? They do this often, once a year, I guess, and they rank the presidents. And usually Lincoln and Washington are number one and number two. That tends to be the pattern. Usually Buchanan and Andrew Johnson at the very end. Buchanan, and Andrew Johnson are sort of seen as the two worst presidents. Although one of my problems with these rankings is that I don't know how you can compare a 19th century president like James Monroe, let's say, or John Tyler, or James Garfield. I don't know how you can compare them with 20th century presidents, because these are different countries, so different responsibilities. I mean, John Tyler, who was president in the 1840s, well, you know, he was not the president of an international superpower. He was the president of a growing North American nation. So I think sometimes the comparisons are a bit unfair, but nevertheless, they do happen. And this particular year, Barack Obama made his first appearance in the ranking. They have him at number 12, which is where I take issue with the ranking. First of all, I don't know how you can take a person a year after his presidency is finished, a presidency that by all accounts was not that successful. I mean, certainly, I don't think most Democrats think that he was very consequential. If you're going to put somebody at number 12, this person better be consequential. I mean, you're talking about somebody who had a huge impact in history. Barack Obama really didn't. I mean, he was the first black president, so in that sense, he was historic. But other than that, I mean, there's really not a lot there on the resume to say, hey, this guy was very successful here and there. Even his signature legislation, Obamacare, not exactly doing very well. It may not even survive, even though it has not been formally repealed. It's been pretty much devastated by the fact that, you know, they took away the mandatory, whatever they call that, mandatory signing up for Obamacare. So how they would put Obama as number 12, it just absolutely floors me. And it really shows you, I think, a certain Obama mania, if I could put it that way, on the part of the historians. I thought that Obama mania was done in 2008. But I guess it still continues at the universities. I mean, we all remember when Barack Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize, not because he had done anything, but because they were hoping he would do something. It sounds to me like this is what this is also. We're going to make him number 12. We're going to put him in the top third of our presidents, not because he did anything, but because we're hoping you think he will, or we're hoping that you think he did do some things. I just find it absolutely shocking. And why he's even on the list is as much of a shock as anything, because I don't see how a president a year and a half after he left office, frankly, I don't know how you can effectively look at his presidency anyway. It's pretty remarkable. So that's what my post is about over at the American Thinker. And the name of my post is at this pace, he will pass Lincoln next year. It looks to me like he may, if historians keep giving Barack Obama such special treatment in these rankings. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpies. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to all of that on the show information there where it says Carlos' schedule. If you click on that, it'll take you to his schedule here in the Dallas area. Just a quick note before we talk about Mr. Comey and the upcoming information about the midterms. We say happy number 83 today to Bobby Vinton. If you remember that song, Roses Are Red, My Love, Blue Velvet, that was Bobby Vinton. He was very popular in the 60s with the ladies. I mean, super popular. That's what I'm trying to say, super popular. We also remember Dusty Springfield, who was born on this day in 1939. She died 1999, very popular singer back in the 1960s, a little bit into the 70s. And the great pianist, Henry Mancini, who was born in 1924. He died in 1994. We remember him for some wonderful instrumentals like Moon River and Romeo and Juliet and a few others. Great pianist. I remember my father was a big fan of Mancini, would always have a few of his LPs on the turntable. Well, let's talk a little bit about a couple of stories here. Comey on television and the midterms. Some new information came out. You know, they're constantly, obviously, polling voters and who they're going to vote for in the upcoming midterms. The midterms are 26 weeks away, so half a year. And in many places, we don't even know who the Republican candidate is going to be yet. So we'll have a better sense, particularly in the Senate, of where all of this is going. But based on the latest of what they like to call the generic vote, this is the one where they ask you who would you vote for, a Democrat or a Republican. They don't talk about your district. They just think in general terms, who would you like to vote for? And in the past, this particular poll has been a good gauge of whether or not there's going to be what they like to call a wave, meaning a massive turnover of the House, as happened in 2010, in 1994, in 2006, and so on. So what they look for in this poll is if the opposition party is usually up by 10 points, then that is a sign that there may be a wave, that there may be 30 or 40 seats changing in the House. Right now, the very latest one is like 4 or 5 points. And the average of all of these polls is about 7, which means that that's not really the evidence of a wave. It does not mean anything specifically or definitely because, again, the election is not until 26 weeks, and this could change both ways between now and then. But I think that for those people who thought that there was a wave out there, a Democrat wave out there, there doesn't seem to be right now. And I think there's probably a lot of reasons for that. One could very well be the fact that the economy is doing better. One could also be, I think one of the big reasons is that I think the attacks on President Trump are really creating a backlash in the country. There's sort of like what I would call Trump fatigue, where people are saying, okay, enough is enough. Show me something or stop investigating this guy. So I think there's some of that. But I think much of it, I think, is the economy and the very decisive way that President Trump seems to be doing things. He makes a decision, he goes for it, and that's just the way it is. So some of it, I think, is helping. I also think the fact that the Democrat Party is moving so far to the left, I think, is also hurting the Democrats, particularly in the areas of the country that they're going to have to win. I mean, look, they got to win in places like Oklahoma and Montana and Missouri and Indiana. You don't win there by being set so far to the left. So anyway, it's a complicated situation. I wouldn't take it as gospel truth yet. I'm sure as we get closer to the election, the numbers will change. But at least as of now, this so-called blue wave that we've been hearing about, well, it's not out there, not out there. At least there's no signs of it out there. Let's talk a little bit about Comey. He was on ABC last night. And all I can tell you, and I have a post about this coming out Tuesday, there was nothing there. He didn't say anything last night that adds anything to the story. I mean, I'm sure it's an interesting book if you want to read about his life. He has, after all, had many positions in his life. I think he worked for 3 presidents, as he was saying, Trump, Bush, and Obama. So, you know, look, I'm not going to say that the guy's a total zero. But as far as this controversy that he's involved in, I think last night a lot of people tuned in probably hoping that they were going to find out something new. And when they finished, they said, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. And that's because there is nothing here. One of the problems, and I have a post about this, as I say, coming out, I think one of the problems that Mr. Comey faces is that he may be involved in some legal problems of his own. You have this situation with the IG report over at the FBI. There's another one coming out. The number 2 man at the FBI who was working for Mr. Comey was hit very hard by the first report. Apparently, there's more stuff coming out. So then you have the controversy with Attorney General Lynch and the emails. I mean, he may be involved in some legal proceedings here, and why he's out there writing books and talking to people. I know, look, I understand the money part of it. We all want to make the money. But I'm not sure he's helping himself a great deal by going out there and talking this much about this and that, because he's not saying anything new. And at the same time, he may be exposing himself, as I say, to some kind of legal problems by the fact that he's talking so much about this and that. So Again, as far as Comey is concerned, nothing new last night. Nothing new at all. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Talk to you later.